As one high-flying stock after another is exposed as at least partly smoke and mirrors, many investors are looking for someone to blame. And there are plenty of suspects, including crooked executives, conflicted accountants, and gullible business reporters. Investors themselves also had a hand in blowing up the big technology bubble. As NPR's Scott Horsley reports, no one wanted to look too closely at what was behind the boom.
When it comes to the stock market, Nancy Davis is no gambler. The retired school psychologist has a diversified portfolio, and she researches companies at the public library before she buys their stock.
I grew up in a very prudent household. My parents lived through the Depression and had put money into the stock market in the late 20s and lost it all. You had to be careful with your pennies. And so that just seemed like the right way to do it.
But even a sober investor like Davis let her guard down during the technology boom of the late 90s. Her biggest mistake was buying shares in JDS Uniphase, a company that makes fiber optic equipment. The stock was already pretty expensive when she bought it, but Davis was confident the price would climb even higher.
That feeling can build that there's all those wonderful opportunities out there that other folks are taking advantage of and that you want to get it too. And that's why you need to really remind yourself of the discipline that you must have as an investor. But, oh, it's so hard to keep that discipline when you know that other people have been making killings. You feel just a little bit stupid plodding along being conservative.
And that, in a nutshell, is how bubbles happen, when the fear of losing your investment is overcome by the fear of missing an opportunity. Investors set aside their ordinary skepticism and accept even the most outrageous claims because of some new discovery. In this case, venture capitalists like Bill Stensrud raised to invest in internet startups. In the past, they might have spent months researching a business plan before putting money into it. But during the late 90s, deals were done in hours.
There was no due and no diligence for a lot of deals for a long time. People were just dumping money into the market.
And investors were cheered on by executives whose own pay was tied to their stock price, by Wall Street analysts eager for investment banking business, and by new television networks that covered the market as though it were a football game. Richard Silla is a financial historian at New York University's Stern School of Business.
Normally cautious people would say, I've got to get with it now. I'm missing out on things. And, of course, there was an IPO craze. That was widely touted on CNBC, which some people call bubble vision. And people just began to spend a lot of time watching the market.
To many investors, the internet boom seemed unprecedented. But Silla says it was anything but.
The railroad was a similar technology. People were so fascinated when it was a brand new thing and thought it was going to save civilization. The 1920s, it was kind of radio technologies. You know, the hot stock then was RCA or one of them.
In each case, Silla says, the discoveries are genuine. But investors overreact and pay too high a price, expecting unrealistic returns. At some point, investment turns to pure speculation. Buyers no longer care about the intrinsic value of what they're buying, only that they can sell it for an even higher price. Take day trader Barry Parrish, who was interviewed for this KPBS television documentary early in the year 2000.
I've traded AFCI, AMAT, Amgen, APCC, ATML, and I don't know what any of those companies do. I just trade them. I don't marry them, you know?
That's the sound of a bubble about to burst. And when it did, even many savvy investors, like venture capitalist Stensrud, got burned.
In my heart, I always knew this wasn't going to last forever. I wasn't naive about the fact that we were in an unreal economy. I was naive about the magnitude and timing of it.
The pain and recrimination that come after a bubble are also a familiar part of the pattern, as investors seek an explanation for how they lost their money. Stock market mania doesn't excuse outright fraud, of course, but it does help to explain how it went undetected for so long. The good news, historian Silla says, is that markets do recover. But he admits that's easier to say decades later than when you're living through the cleanup.
They're not much fun while they're deflating, but in a sense, because people are willing to take those risks, some of these new technologies develop faster than they would have otherwise. So maybe bubbles and the deflation of bubbles and stock market crashes are part of the price we pay for having a progressive dynamic economy.
Nancy Davis has learned her lesson. Now that JDS Uniphase shares have tumbled from $130 to less than $3, she's back on a course of prudent, careful investing. Most observers think it will be some time before we see anything like the tech bubble again, though we probably will at some point. Venture capitalist Stensrud borrows an expression from the Texas oil patch. Lord, grant me one more boom, and I promise I won't squander it this time. Scott Horsley, NPR News, San Diego.